So just say, God must have something very important to say to me this morning.
God must have something very important to say to me this morning.
Because he's given me a very private audience. All right. So before we get up on there this morning, I just want to go over a social science theory. I want to backtrack a little around Steve Backlund's visit. We talked a little before, even before he visited, about our thinking and how we might have the mind of Christ. I believe the message was we have much more available to us than our current beliefs. I think then, you know, we've had some other messages by others in between, and then Steve came, and I think the biggest thing for me is this notion of your experience. Are we hearing something greater than our experience? Just give me a minute here. So I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about how we might really accept that and make it part of us. I think some of what Steve talked to us about was how we hear these concepts all the time, right? And I get nervous all the time for myself and for us because we kind of go over some of this ground over and over again. And I sometimes wonder if it ever becomes reality in our hearts and our minds. And conceptually, we can recite a lot of stuff. In fact, I know people in my life that could recite the whole Bible. They probably know the Bible by heart. But if your life depended on it, you wouldn't choose them to be with you in an emergency or to be your backup because they have all this knowledge, but it never translates into anything functional. And so I think why we want to stay here and we want to try to figure out what God really is saying to us and where he really wants us to be is because it's important for the stage that we're going in, right? So we have to be a place where what we say is what we live, not what we say. Right? So when folks come in, and folks came in this morning and they turned around and went back out. I'm not sure what that's all about. But when folks come in and they hear something, they not only have to hear it, they have to see it. Because hearing is just one way we receive something. But actually, when we hear something and then we see the opposite, we say, that's not the truth or that's not for me. Right? And so we got to figure out how we get this concept locked in. We get locked in on this concept. So this morning we're just going to talk about some things, if I can get this to work somehow. And Steve left us with this statement. At least it left me with this and so many others, but this is one that's key. We need to hear something higher than we're believing. So I just want to quickly go over some concepts in the psychological space, and it's not showing up on there. I don't know why, but yeah, I know. It's all right. The concept is cognitive behavioral therapy. So cognitive behavioral therapy is something that psychologists use to help people get well. And over the years, it's been refined. And another guy by the name of Dr. Albert Ellis came along and created something called rational emotive behavior therapy. And I won't get into all the science of that. I'm not qualified to do that. But it's just enough for you to know that this is about how to treat people that have psychological challenges or illnesses. So I want you to think about this, that before these two therapies, and these were just created in the last century, so maybe 1950, 1940, they were ideas, and then they got fleshed out, and then became practices, and now they're current practices in the psychological world. But I want you to know that before that, what would happen is people that were like depressed or had some negative psychological behavior were treated with very aggressive treatments that were sometimes and most times very damaging, like electrical stimulation or very intense psychotropic drugs in order to get them to change their behavior. And what comes along with cognitive behavioral therapy and Dr. Albert Ellis is this simple, not really simple, but simple idea that we can change our thinking and make much more progress. And so what happens over that period of time is they find out that this simple therapy, and this is a simple one, there's more of them, is much more successful than electrical shock treatment or psychotropic drugs or some of the other really intense therapies that they were using up to that time to try and help these people. Now, you know what? Here's the thing we got to understand is that we use what we know, right? We would all say, when I see this challenge, I know how to do this, right? Whatever it is. I spill something on the floor, I know how to go pick up paper towels and clean it up, right? That or rags. Somebody did it with rags, and then it was paper towels, and then somebody came along and created the Swiffer, right? Now just think, I want you to think hard about this, right? When you were cleaning that spill up with paper towels, you had no idea there was a Swiffer. You were believing that the way to clean up a spill is paper towels. And somebody was believing to hear something higher than paper towels. Does that make sense? If we always only do what we know, we stay right there and there can't be any expansion. So what happens here is this guy, Dr. Albert Ellis, he creates this model. And he says this in his model, that the model is called the ABC model. And it means that there's an activating event or a trigger that stimulates us in a negative way. Or could stimulate us in a negative way. So this is a activating event. This is our beliefs about that event. And this is the consequences. And the simple idea here for us this morning is that when an activating event happens, if we have negative beliefs about that activating event, we will come out with negative consequences or negative behavior. If I walk in the door this morning and Lionel didn't say hello to me, if I just think, hey, Lionel's busy, Lionel's got something on his mind, Lionel's distracted, or Lionel's got to go do something else, there's no negative consequence. But if I think, hey, Lionel doesn't like me, Lionel hates me, Lionel's ignoring me, any of a million other things, then there's a negative consequence. Then I'm sitting here all morning trying to worship thinking, Lionel, I have a problem with Lionel. Do you understand the difference? Yeah. Now, you may think that's simple and you may think, well, it's odd. What's that got to do with anything? I want to challenge you that every day in your life you follow this pattern to some degree. Some of us more than others and some of us much more than we should. Something happens. We have bad or negative or not God beliefs about it. And then we suffer the consequences. And the consequences just could be a bad mood. The consequences could be an attitude. It could be anger. It could be worse. But it's all wrapped up in what Steve was trying to get us toward and what God is trying to get us toward is what are our beliefs in here? The key thing here is our belief system. And what we do when an activating event happens. The interesting thing about this thing, and the reason I write it out for you, is because maybe you can take away this simple thing and say ABC. So when you go home and you're working through life and something occurs that could be challenging, you might remember ABC. The interesting part of this is there's only two pieces of control here. We have absolutely no control over this. So this is going to happen to you. This is going to happen to me. Activating events, situations, negative things are going to happen to us in our life. We don't have control over that to probably 99% degree. You want to go lock yourself in your closet? Then a lot of things can't happen to you. You also can't go to the bathroom, so that's not good. Right? So you pick your choice, but generally speaking, life is going to happen, and some of the things in life aren't going to be pleasant. Now, the only way to address that is with your belief system, because your belief system drives your outcome. All right? So fairly simple, right? Excuse me. So now I want to just take you to Mark real quickly and just go through a little sequence, which I find very interesting and very, hopefully, compelling for us. Mark chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. This is the story where Jesus came to the 12. He gave them anointing and power to go out and heal the sick and do other miracles. He told them, don't take anything with you. You just go in my power and go do what you've seen me do. So we have a group of followers of Jesus, and maybe just about the size of this group this morning, right? And they've been walking with Jesus, and they've been watching him do some incredible things, and they've been hearing him say some incredible things, right? So they've been watching stuff they've never seen before, meaning they've been experiencing something bigger than what they've been believing, what they were believing. And they've been hearing things that are bigger than they're believing. And now Jesus says, activation time, guys. Now you have to go out and do what you've been seeing and hearing. And he commissions them, and they go out, and they do stuff. They cast out demons, they heal the sick, they do all this stuff, and they come back, and in another place in the gospel, they were celebrating that, actually. And it says right there, Mark 6, that they went off, preached repentance, they drove out many demons, they anointed many with oil, and those who were sick were cured, right? This is Mark 6. Now, in Mark chapter 8, just a little while later, we don't know how long, but it couldn't have been that long. So shortly thereafter that they had been commissioned and they had gone out and done this stuff that Jesus had demonstrated to them and told them to do, they find themselves in the multitude where Jesus is with the crowd. In fact, on the way over to this crowd or place where Jesus was going to draw this crowd is when they were celebrating all the things that they did after they were commissioned, and Jesus said, don't celebrate the thing, celebrate that your name is written in the book of life, right? Now they get from there to this place in this meadow where these thousands of people have gathered to hear Jesus, and after days of listening to Jesus, he says, these people are really hungry, they've run out of food, there's nowhere for them to go, give them something to eat. And the disciples answer and say, where can anyone get enough bread to satisfy them here in this deserted place? These are the followers that had listened to him and watched him do all the incredible things that he did, right? Say, I'm a follower of his.
I'm a follower of his.
These are the followers that were anointed to go and do all the things that he did and went and did them. Why do we talk about testimony? What's the purpose of testimony this morning? The purpose of testimony is so we can live out of the power of what God has done. It's not just to hear a good story. It's not just a celebration time. It is that. But it's a ladder. It's a stepping stone. It's a promotion to believe that if God did this, what else could he do? If God sent me a gift in the mail, or if God gave me a new job, or if God healed that woman in the supermarket's husband or whoever it was of cancer, or just even because she prayed, that woman had the peace to endure until she got the answer. If God could do that, what else could he do? One thing we've got to start challenging ourselves to do is say, when we hear a testimony, say, boy, if God could do that, what else could he do? Boy, if God did that, a lot of times we hear a testimony and say, boy, God didn't do that for me. And that's part of why we don't get anywhere, because we're stuck in the experience that we're believing. We're living out of the same experience instead of believing for something higher. So here we have his followers that watched him do and say. Now they went out and did and say, And then they come to an opportunity where if they would have taken a second to say, can I live out of the testimony of what I've been living in? Can I live out of the Hey, remember what he said a couple months back? I wonder if this would apply here. Could we think higher, or can we hear God for something higher? They can't. He says, give them something to eat. And they say, in another gospel, they say, we don't have anything to give them. And so we have to challenge ourselves this morning and say to ourselves, what is it that we have? And how are we stewarding that so that we can be a better blessing or a better demonstration of God's love? And I would submit to you that that is a bad belief. So the event is this. We're all out in the meadow with thousands of people and there's no food. And the belief is, I can't do anything about it. And the circumstances are that the people starve. So when we walk around and we see things and we interact with people and our thinking is that we can't do anything about it, we're starving somebody from an interaction with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now listen, it may not be that whatever we do changes things, but what if? So I'm in school, you all know, and Thursday morning I have an arrangement with another classmate where we have to do work. And I was talking to her on Thursday morning, and after our session, I said, hey, I noticed that you didn't post your work last night. What's going on? Wednesday night is the deadline at 12 midnight. And she started to cry. This is an older woman. This is not, this is probably in her 50s, professional woman. Started to cry and said, I'm not going to make it. I still didn't finish my last assignment, and I'm going to fail this class. And I said, I wanted to, kind of give her a rah-rah speech, but I just said, you know what, can I pray for you? So she said, yes. So I prayed for her, and she texted me back, 2 hours, this is 7 o'clock in the morning. She texted me back, 2.5 hours later in the middle of the morning, and she said, I just submitted my assignment, thank you. So we never know what is going to come at us and how it's going to come at us. We can't control A. Question is, are we ready when A comes along to respond out of the fountain of heaven, the river of living water, or out of our own deficit, or out of some other a place that is not life-giving, right? So just 2 chapters later, disciples find themselves in a position of saying, there's nothing we could do. Mark chapter 9, one more chapter later, this guy comes to the disciples. Jesus is up on the mount with James, John, and Peter, and they go through this incredible experience, right? But meanwhile, down below, everybody say, meanwhile, down below.
Meanwhile, down below.
There's a guy who's desperate. His son is demon-possessed, and he doesn't know what to do. And he's looking for an answer, and he can't find one. So what does he do? He brings his son to the followers of Jesus. Why? Because the followers of Jesus should be like
Jesus.
And apparently, they did whatever they knew, right? They operated out of their existing level of experience and could not cast out this demon. Now, you might say it's unfair to them because they wouldn't have known about fasting, but that's not true, because they would have known that Jesus himself fasted 40 days in the desert before he even started his ministry. But anyway, when Jesus now comes down from the mountain and the man sees Jesus, he runs to the man and says, I'm desperate. I need help. I have to get my son well. And I tried your disciples and they couldn't do anything. And Jesus said, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I endure you? Bring him to me. And they brought the boy to him. And we know the story. Jesus casted out the demon. The challenge for us is this morning right here. What do we really believe? And how do we respond? No one can control this. Someone's going to walk in the door. Someone's going to have a problem and present themselves to us. And what are our beliefs about that? Are our beliefs about our own experience? I got to tell you, too many times I operate out of my own experience. I've been really checking myself over the last week or so to think about how many times like somebody needs prayer or I get involved with somebody and my default is my own experience or my relevance of what I've seen or what I've known. I don't have a lot of room to say, God, I need to hear something new. And I want to challenge you that it should be the first prayer of our heart every time. We should never, ever say to somebody, oh, I've seen this before, it's this. Or I've done this before, it's that. The first prayer. It could be that. It could be. We heard that, you know, when we get victory over something, like Ruth has had victory over this cancer in her body, that we have authority in the area. So it could be that. But we should allow God to open up our revelation to the fact that it could be something else. Because we're dealing with a very fearfully and wonderfully made, unique person in front of us. And one size does not fit all in God's plan. It just doesn't. We have to be more sensitive. And we have to be more full of hope. I love this. If we don't have glistening hope, I don't know, man. That's kind of hit me in between the eyes. Right? I mean, we get all this stuff. We worship like crazies, and it's great. But if that doesn't drive us to glistening hope, then something's wrong, right? Now, here's a different one. Mark. This is all Mark, and this is all within a few chapters. So I want to encourage you to say that the disciples didn't get this all either. In the moment, they didn't get it in a short period of time. They got it over a lifetime, right? And they got more of it when the Holy Spirit came. So this gets even more challenging. If we go back to this concept, this behavior of cognitive behavioral therapy, as soon as I saw this concept, I said, that's from the Bible. That's not from medicine. That's not from humans. That's from the Bible. Take every thought captive and pull down strongholds. That's from the Bible. Now, when men were trying to treat people with depression and other really difficult things, they were shocking them with electricity. They were giving them these crazy drugs that if they did help you in one way, they destroyed you in another way. But along comes somebody to think a little higher, and out comes this therapy. Everything we see comes from the kingdom. Every good thing comes from above. We can label it. We can think about it. But here's what I want to challenge you with. If the medical sciences believe in this model, how much more should we have a belief in God, given that we have the Holy Spirit? I mean, this is really challenging. We have a model here that is really humanistic in thought, yet we have a command by God to go and heal the sick, to set the captives free, to heal the blind, to feed the broken, heal the broken heart, feed those that are hungry. We have that mandate from God, and we've been given the comforter and the power in order to do that. And I think we would argue that the medical folks get better results than we do sometimes, if not more times than they should. Mark 14:29, Peter said to him, even though all should have their faith shaken, mine will not be. Then Jesus said to him, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. But he vehemently replied, even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all spoke similarly. So you know this familiar passage. Jesus is about to go and do what the Father's called him to do. And Peter stands up and says, no, you're not going to go. And if you have to go, I'm going to go and die with you. And by the way, the Bible says that they all You see what that says there? And they all spoke similarly. So he's kind of pointing at Peter, but they were all like, yeah, you know how it is when you're in a group and somebody says, I need somebody to volunteer for this. And somebody jumps up and says, I'll do it. And some other people say, yeah, you hear a few like half-hearted eyes and half hands go up. Peter was the guy that jumped out and said, I'll do it. But the rest of them said the same thing. They're all responsible. And so are we this morning. Here's the point this morning. This is a good thought, but it's not a God thought. And so we have to be careful about how we see this piece of this, right? Because it's not what you believe, and it's not what I believe. It's what does God say, right? So I can't take my own beliefs, my own experiences, my own knowledge, and apply it to someone's life. I have to be able to think about what God says. I have to have that deposit of God's word in me so that I can say, what does God say? So two things I've got to be doing here all the time is I got to be saying, God, what do you say? What have you said? One. And what are you saying? Right? Because I can use the word poorly if I just always go by what God said, because it may not be appropriate for the moment. I need to understand what's in front of me and then say, God, what are you saying? I'm aware. See, in order to be able to say, what are you saying, God, you have to know what he's already said. You have to know what he's already said. We have to know the word of God. This is not something where we just walk around and we hear a concept in a meeting like this, and then we start throwing the concept around. We have to know the word of God. We have to know what God has done in our life. We have to have testimonies so we have a history to build on. And then we have to say, okay, God, this is what I've experienced. This is what I know from your word. Now, what are you saying right here and now? And the way we can evaluate what God might be saying right here and now is through the lens of his word and what he's done in the past. And so if something comes to our mind that's way out, doesn't align with his word, we know it couldn't be him. Peter says to Jesus, no, you won't go, you shouldn't go, and if you have to go, I'll go and die with you. That's a great thought. It's not a God thought at that moment. What we have to give him credit for is that at least he was thinking in the right direction, right? So I think God wants to challenge our hearts this morning. I know he's challenging mine. And I know that I don't get a lot of this right. And I'm more intent than ever about capturing my thoughts. And we're empowered by God to capture our thoughts. So it's not, remember Steve said, we have to change what? Remember, there's all these things. Right. But he said there's all these waves. And it's interesting. I was in something in work, right? If we were able to turn on a spectrum in this spectrum analyzer in this room right now, there's tons of waves flowing through this room of different sizes and different lengths and different speeds. You can't see them because they're not in the visible light wave. But they're there. In fact, if we could get some kind of decoder, and they're available, we could pull all those waves down, and we could see tons of information that is flowing right through this room right now. There's radio songs playing right in this room right now, right? There's all kinds of information passing through because all those waves are in the atmosphere. We don't know it because we don't have the capability to hear or see them. We need equipment to do that. But what Steve said is we get to choose which channel we listen to. It's not God's job to give me a good attitude. It's not God's job to give me a positive belief system. It's not God's job to read the Bible for me. I was just listening to a Bill Johnson teaching a little while ago, and he told this story about a woman, and the story goes something like this. I'm probably destroying it, but just for the moment, it comes to me. He went to dinner at this couple's house, and they had some kind of like gold, not gold, gold, but some kind of shiny thing laying on the coffee table. And when he left, it was gone. So the couple said to themselves, he took the gold, whatever it was, letter opener. I don't know. It wasn't that, but that's the thing. He took the gold letter opener. And so time went by. He got invited back over to the house, and the woman was really frustrated, and she goes to him, "Hey, the last time you were here, did you take our gold letter opener?" And he said to her, "No, I put it in your Bible." So, I mean, I just tell you that to say we have to know the Word. We have to be in the Word of God. If we're going to be people that live out a belief system, we have to know God's heart. We have to understand what God is saying, right? And we have the power. If you go to Corinthians, it tells you. We have to live expecting to hear something higher than our experience, right? And I'll tell you what, you know, we can sit here this morning and say, "Oh, there's not many people here." Oh, you know. "Oh, we've been doing this for a long time." Oh, you know. "Oh, we have so many prophetic words over the house." And oh, and what are we going to do with that? Are we going to live out of that place and we're going to agree with that? Or are we going to believe higher and think higher? It's not easy. I'm not trying to tell you that this is easy stuff, but this is what God's called us to do. We have to start to process our thoughts, every one of our thoughts. This is where it gets difficult. We have to capture the thought and say, what is the event that triggered that thought? What am I believing about that thought? And if it's not a good thought, we have to pull it down, we have to throw it out, and we have to replace it with a new thought. And as I think about my life and my daily routine, I can't tell you how many times over simple little things that I don't have a positive thought or I don't have a hopeful thought. And that has to change. It's not just about a good thought, it's about a God thought, right? This is not about positive thinking. It's not about the power of positive psychology. It's about taking the Word of God, the promises of God, the things God's already done. When Steve was here, I was recounting the story about our house, right? And just how, like, every time we get challenged to think, what are we doing, God? Why are we doing this? It's not working, or it's too painful, or whatever. My house stares me in the face as like a, "No, you're wrong." My house speaks to me and says, "You're wrong." I'm not making that up. I told Steve about the 2 or more years that we spent looking for places to live in this city. And I wish I would have taken pictures. I wish I had a video journey of what we went through. And I wish I could show that all you today to tell you what a miracle it is about where we are and how we really had nothing to do with it. It was all God. But it's easy sometimes to get caught up in the day-to-day activating stuff that will get you to start believing that this isn't, it was coincidence. It's not coincidence. You can't make something like that happen by coincidence. You just cannot. It's got to be God's thoughts. I got to think about you with God's thoughts. Even when you do something poorly, you have to think about me with God's thoughts, even when I do something poorly. It's so easy to default to what we always do. I would like to just fool around a little this morning and say, what are some of those things? I would like to ask you to think around some things in your life that you constantly do over and over again and it doesn't change. And you say to yourself, "I wonder why." I'll tell you why. It's because of how we believe about it. This is the way it's always going to be. Oh, this is just who I am. Oh, this is the way things are. Oh, this is beyond my control. It's not. The event is beyond your control. The beliefs and the consequences are not beyond your control. They're not beyond my control. So we can't expect to advance if we're not living what he has already done and what he's currently saying. It sounds simple. It's so much more difficult than it sounds. And I'm not trying to make it sound hard. I'm trying to say it's time to elevate who we are. It's time to elevate our thinking. It's time to elevate how we treat each other. It's time to elevate how we interact with society. It's time to elevate all parts of our life so that they're filled with God beliefs and not our beliefs, and worse yet, not some debilitating belief that keeps us stuck where we are. I can think about so many areas of my life. We took the test on Wednesday night. And I'm not where I want to be, but I could tell you what, when I was taking that test, I could tell you what, I've made some progress. I looked at some of those things that I was really, I used to be a very sarcastic person. I used to be a very negative person. I'm not that person anymore. Am I where I want to be? No, but I am not that person anymore. I looked at some of the other stuff on that list and stuff that I really struggled with. And by the grace of God, I've made progress. Do I want to stay where I am? No. I want to keep going. It takes effort. It takes belief. It takes investment. Get in the Word. Get in together with like-minded people. Get in together with people that are high. Why do we go to meetings? Why do we follow people in our lives? Because we want to be around people that are living at a higher level of experience than we are. Okay? So it's not just we alone. Oh, I'm living out of my experience and I'm waiting to hear something higher. Well, how do we hear something higher? We get around people that are living out of something higher. And we say, God, I want a piece of that anointing. I want to hear it. Listen, if you don't not willing to hear, you can't have. And more lately, it's not even being around them. It's just hearing it. So I look these people up. I see what they're doing. I listen to what they say. I listen to their messages. And you get the anointing just by agreeing with what God's doing in that person's life. Now, does that mean that I get their gifting and I get to accomplish all that they accomplish? No, because God's given me something specific to do. I'm not going to be Billy Graham. I'm not going to be somebody else. I'm going to be me. But I can benefit from listening to someone like Billy Graham because I can get a piece of the anointing that he had to live at a higher level than the one I'm already experiencing. Does this make sense to you this morning? Let's pray. God, we just thank you for your goodness toward us, God. And we thank you that you've given us so much more ability to live in a better state and to be producers of better outcome than we can imagine. And so we keep coming back here, God, to ask you to reframe our thinking. We know that it's impossible to do this on our own, but you've given us your Holy Spirit, who is the comforter, but he's the helper too. And so we just say, Holy Spirit, help us to reprogram our belief system, to put on the mind of Christ, to replace the mind of David with the mind of Christ, to capture every thought that isn't of heaven and of you. Pull it down, God, and replace it with what you're thinking. We can't afford, God, to be thinking something that you're not thinking. Too many lives at stake, too many situations, God, that you want us to be a catalyst in. We're asking you to prepare us for all that you've asked us to do. We thank you for where you've taken us, God, and for how much you have grown us. But now we're saying, God, we want to accelerate that process. We don't want to just hear these terms. We don't want to just hear a good sermon, God. We want to live out of the fullness and out of the power that comes with hearing when it's mixed with faith. We thank you for glistening hope, God, in every area of our life this morning. God, we pray over everyone that couldn't make it this morning for whatever reason. We just ask you to bless their lives, that they would get a download of hope and encouragement in their life today. God, all those that are on our sick list, from Vince to everybody, Michelle's mom, God, those that are struggling, Lisa, who's traveling and having some challenges over this weekend also, God, and others that have asked for prayer, God, we just present them before you this morning, God. We say there is an answer. There is an answer. Because we don't know it, God, doesn't mean it's not there. We know there's an answer, and we continue to press you for it, God. And we thank you for all that you are going to do with each one of our lives, even just this week, God, as we think about this simple process of challenging our belief system, God. We are convinced that you are going to show up strong this week in each one of our lives. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.